This morning we studied and we looked at the Day of Judgment. And on this evening, I would like us to look and consider after judgment. Consider what the Lord says is going to happen after judgment. And more specifically, I want us to look at heaven. So our scriptural text on this evening will be from Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to be looking at verses 13 through 16. Hebrews, the chapter is 11 and the verses are 13 through 16. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, the Bible reads, "These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city." The Northwestern University School of Education released the results of a questionnaire they gave to 500 religious leaders. And some of the answers and some of the percentages that we find might be a little shocking to us, but 69% of these 500 religious leaders denied that there is a hell, 41% denied that there is a heaven, 39% denied that there will be a day of judgment, 54% denied that there is a devil, 80% denied the subject of hell should be taught, 52% denied denied a coming judgment should be taught, 40% denied that there are angels, 8% denied that there is life after death, and 26% denied Jesus is deity. Almost 100% of those who took the questionnaire believe in life after death. But most of them deny that there is a hell. Even more of them deny that hell should be taught, and almost 50% denied that there is a heaven. I mean, when I look at these numbers and I think, how can you believe in an afterlife but not believe in what the scriptures teach will come in the afterlife, either heaven or hell? If there is no heaven, if there is no resurrection, if there is no salvation, then there is no point. And since God's Word is the only book that speaks with any authority on spiritual matters, we have to understand that there is with 100% certainty we should know that there is life after death, 100% certainty that there is a hell, 100% certainty that there is a heaven. There is a resurrection, there is salvation, and therefore there is a point to our lives, the lives we live here and now. So, with these things in mind, it is from this passage of Scripture, Hebrews chapter 11 and the verses are 13 through 16, that our subject on this evening will be a prepared place for a prepared people. A prepared place for a prepared people. And there are three things that I would like to bring to our attention regarding heaven. Three things, and then the lesson is yours. The first is this: heaven is for exiles. Heaven is for exiles. When we think about Abraham, who is described in our scriptural text, Abraham's desire for something greater than here is evident in his obedience to God. Not seeing the promises God made to him, but trusting in the word of the Lord shows that he was truly in exile. When we think about the fact that he left the land that he knew to dwell in tents for the rest of his life, that shows that he was truly in exile. At any time, Abraham could have returned to his homeland, but he was seeking something better. He was seeking a better country. He was seeking a heavenly country. And because Abraham treated this world like it was temporary, like a true sojourner would, he received provisions from God. And God can and God will provide for all who walk by faith and not by sight, as 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 commands us to do. If we are going through this life and we are walking by the faith that God has given us, he will provide for us. If we are not simply focused on what we see, and if we treat this life like there's more to it afterwards, then God will provide for us. This world is not the home of the one who desires heaven. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 at verse 11. 1 Peter, the chapter is 2, and the verse is 11. In 1 Peter 2:11, the Bible reads, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul." Peter records in this verse, as sojourners and exiles, we must keep from the passions of the flesh. We must keep from earthly desires, knowing that giving into them, we are jeopardizing our soul's salvation. As exiles, we must have the same mindset our Lord had when He walked on the earth. Knowing that Jesus' stay here was temporary, He didn't desire physical things, but He desired to relay to the world spiritual blessings that could be ours if this life, the time in this life, is spent focusing on eternal life. Jesus showed us that it wasn't about the physical. Jesus showed us that it was all about the spiritual. Jesus showed us that He wasn't about a physical kingdom. He was about a heavenly kingdom, a spiritual kingdom. So the question we must ask ourselves is, how do we treat this life? Do we treat this life as if it's all there is? As if this is all there will ever be? Or do we truly live as exiles? When we are laying up our treasures in heaven, we know we are living as exiles. When we are doing everything we can to allow the Lord to protect our soul, we know that we are living as exiles. When our focus is on things above and not things below, we know that we are living as exiles. Heaven is available to any who would take hold of it, but only those who are true exiles will dwell in it. Because that's who heaven is for. Heaven is for exiles. Heaven is for sojourners. Heaven is for those who treat this life like there's something more important in the next. That's who heaven is for. A prepared place for a prepared people. Heaven is for exiles. And our second point on this evening is this: heaven will be eternal. Heaven will be eternal. Paul in 2 Timothy is nearing the end of his life. And he says in chapter 4 at verse 6 that the time of his departure has come. He goes on to say in chapter 4 at verse 7 that he has finished the race. The finish line is death, and after that, after the finish line, is eternity. The finish line is death, and after the finish line is eternity. I remember being in junior high, and our mascot was the Mustangs. And we had what was called the Mustang Run. And it was a 10-mile run. It was actually a mile and a half, but it felt like 10 for me. Because I do not like running long distance. It was a mile and a half run. And it was one lap around the track, and then it was just all throughout the school. You had to go all around the school, you know, on the basketball courts, the baseball fields, the soccer fields. You had to go everywhere. And it felt like it was never going to end. It felt like it was that finish line couldn't be further. But when I crossed that finish line, and we had to do this every Friday. So every Friday when I crossed that finish line, it was such a relief. Sometimes it felt like it would never come, but crossing that finish line was such a relief. And Paul was about to cross from this life into eternity. And because he lived this life for Christ, he was crossing that finish line to that feeling of relief. So many times we hear in the world people are suffering. People are going through things, and we feel for them. We pray for them. You know, we pray for people in the world, right? You know, oh, well, you know, so-and-so in my family is dealing with this, and we should pray for that. We should pray and go to God, because like we've said and like I've mentioned many times up here before, we are the few that God actually hears our prayers. So many people in the world think that they are praying and that God's listening to them and God is hearing their prayers. But we know that God is hearing our prayers if we are living right for Him. If we have obeyed the gospel and if we are living righteous lives, we know that God hears our prayers. So we should go to God on the behalf of others. But how much are we thinking about the souls of those who we are praying for? How much is people in the world thinking about the souls of those people? You know, so many times people just want, I just wish that God would remove this from me. I wish that God would remove this from me. I wish that God would just give so-and-so another year of life. But then what if that person dies? and is not in the right relationship with God. I would rather have one day left knowing that I was right with God than a year knowing that I wasn't. We have to understand that our souls are what's important. Our souls are what's going to go on into eternity. When we cross the finish line, that is our death, when our life is over, that's it. There are no do-overs. There's no going back. There's no purgatory. There's no second chance. This is our chance. God has given us more than a second chance. With every opportunity He has given us to be right with Him, to serve Him, to live for Him. So we can cross that finish line to relief, as Paul did, if we are living as exiles, if we are putting Christ first, if we are living our lives with God in mind, with God and Christ at the forefront of our mind and heart. Jimmy Allen, in desiring to give a sense of the duration of hell, said, "If hell were only 100 years, I could stand it. After one day, I could say, I have only 99 years, 364 days left, and I'll get out of this place. If hell were only 1,000 years, I could bear that. After one day in torment, I could say, just 999 years, 364 days, and I'll get out. If hell were 1,000,000 years, I could bear it. After a couple of days there, I could say, only 999,999 years, 363 more days, and I'll get out. That faint glimmering ray of hope would cause me to hold on. But after man has been in hell 100 years, 1,000 years, 1,000,000 years, 1,000,000,000 years, after man has been in hell 1,000,000,000,000 years, he has no less time to stay. Think about that. Think about where will we spend our eternity. Think about the fact that it could be 1,000,000,000 years, it could be 1,000,000,000,000,000 years, and we won't even have made a dent in our eternity. Will it be heaven or will it be hell? That is all based on the choices we make here and now. Listen to the word of God in Matthew chapter 25 at verse 46. That's Matthew, the chapter is 25 and the verse is 46. There the Bible reads, "And these, the unrighteous, will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Hell might be everlasting and eternal, but so is heaven. And unlike hell, which is full of hopelessness, which is full of emptiness, which is full of misery, heaven will be joyous forever." I'm not sure about you all, but when I go on vacation, as soon as I get there, for whatever reason, I'm thinking, well, I only got 5 days left. I only got 4 days left. I only got 3 days left. 2 days, 1 day, and then we leave. And then that's it. We will never reach a point where we are about to leave in heaven. That is where we will be for all of eternity. 1,000,000,000 years. And we won't even have made a dent in eternity. I saw a man give a very good illustration once. And he had a rope that just kind of went on forever. And this rope was, let's just say, 1,000 feet. And he had 2 to 3 inches of the beginning of that rope taped off in red. And the red tape represents this life. And the rest of the rope represents eternity. So many people put so much focus, so much emphasis on this life, not thinking about how long eternity truly is. Even if this life were 10,000 years, it still won't be worth it. If we live this life in luxury, with happiness, with everything we want, it still won't be worth it. Heaven is what God has prepared for those who are faithful to Him. Heaven is where God wants everyone to be. And that is where we should spend our eternity if we make the necessary choices here in this life. We can spend all of eternity with our Lord and Savior. a prepared place for a prepared people. Heaven is for exiles. Heaven will be eternal. And our third and final point on this evening is this: heaven is essential. Heaven is essential. Heaven is essential for our soul. We will be in eternity far longer than we will be on earth. Our soul will live far longer than our physical bodies will. So it is in our soul's best interest to make those proper course corrections and set our compass towards heaven. If we desire to acquire a land here and now, we can make plans to do so. If we want to buy a house, if we want to buy a field, we can make the necessary plans to acquire land here and now. But when it comes to eternity, we must plan with more than what we see before us in mind. We must remember everything on earth will burn one day. There's nothing that we can take with us. I've never seen a Brinks truck in a funeral procession because we can't take it with us. We can't go and take what we have in this life to the next. Job understood that. Job lost nearly everything. He said, "Naked I came into this world, naked I shall leave it. Blessed be the name of the Lord." That should be our mentality, because it is in our soul's best interest to focus on God. It is essential. Heaven is essential for our soul. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 20, to lay up treasures for our souls in heaven, not to strive for treasures that will perish. When we are striving for things here and now, we're striving for treasures that will perish. Where moth and rust can destroy. But when we are laying up treasures in heaven, moth and rust can't touch that. Satan can't touch that. That's where our focus needs to be. Heaven is essential for our soul. Heaven is also essential for true happiness. And I realize that I'm accidentally hitting this. I need to hold this a little bit better. So you guys don't know what's ahead. But heaven is essential for true happiness. In speaking of heaven, John records in Revelation chapter 21 at verse 4 that God will wipe away every tear. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, crying, or pain, because the former things have passed away. No evil, no sin, or anything that marred us in this life will be in heaven. True happiness only comes from Jesus. True happiness only comes from our God. And being with God means being without tears. Being with God means being without death, being without mourning, being without crying, being without pain. If we want true happiness, it's in heaven, nowhere else. If we want true happiness, it's with the Lord for all of eternity. Heaven is essential for our soul. Heaven is essential for true happiness. And heaven is essential to all we meet. It is clear, according to 1 Timothy chapter 2, at verse 4, that God wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth, and as a result, see heaven. Heaven is essential for everyone. Everyone needs to be in heaven. And although most will fail to admit or even fail to realize, everyone wants to be in heaven. I had a childhood friend that, lost people in his life like we all have. And I was a little shocked by something that he had said. He said, "Whether it's heaven or whether it's hell, don't matter. I got friends in both places." And I was like, that's probably the way most of the world thinks. That, hey, whether it's heaven or whether it's hell, it don't matter. We'll have people. We'll know people either way. But that's not the case. It's like being in solitary confinement for all of eternity. By ourselves, alone, away from God. That's the most important. Separated from God. Nobody knows what that's like. Nobody on earth knows what it's like to be separated from God, because people still reap the benefits of there being a God. Even if they don't acknowledge Him, even if they don't respect Him, even if they don't love Him, they still reap the benefits of there being a God. But on the day of judgment, people will get what they want. We should all want to go to heaven. And we will get that if we are living for the Lord. So whether people want to admit it or not, everyone wants to be in heaven. Therefore, it is up to us to inform those we come in contact with so that they too can go from unprepared to prepared as we have. So where do you stand on this evening? While heaven is in fact a prepared place for a prepared people, we have to understand and we have to remember that hell is also a prepared place for an unprepared people. What will it be? Where will we spend our eternity? That's the song that we're about to sing. And there's some those lyrics, you know, we should really be paying attention. When we're singing, we should really be paying attention to the lyrics that we're singing. And those lyrics are so true. Where will we be for all of eternity? It depends on what we do now. Are we going to live for God now? Or are we going to reject Him and just hope, hey, maybe he'll just give me a free pass. He won't. Our relationship with Him is too precious. His Son was too precious for people to just trample underfoot His blood, thinking that they can live this life however they want. We have obeyed the gospel, those of us who are Christians. So we should always respect what God wants in our lives. We should always respect what God has done for each and every one of us. And if you are not a Christian, you need the blood of Christ. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You need the blood of Christ, as all of us do. And in order for you to come into contact with that blood, you have to obey the gospel, which starts by hearing God's word, which you have done on this evening. Do you believe it? Are you willing to turn away from the evil in your life? Turn to God. Confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. Be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, rising up to walk in newness of life. If you do that, baptism is where you meet the blood of Christ. And God will cleanse you of all of your sins. It's the same for every person. If someone wants to come to God, they have to come to God on His terms, not on man's terms. And you can spend all of eternity with Him if you live righteously, as He has called all to do. Maybe you're here this evening and you are a Christian and you've just lost focus on where you're going to be, on where you're going. Satan is strong. And Satan's going to do everything in his power to cause us to turn our back on God. But if we haven't been living the lives God wants us to live, we can change whenever we want, whenever we make that decision in our minds. We can change and live for God. And if that's you on this evening, you have the opportunity to go to God in prayer, to ask for forgiveness, to repent, to turn away from the evil in your life, and ask for prayers from your brothers and sisters in Christ. Wherever you are on this evening, we ask that you make a wise-hearted decision while together we stand and sing the song that has been selected.